Welcome to Day Zero Update for August 16th, 2026. I'm your host, Chris Sologi.
And I'm Brandon Perkins.
Yeah, just a two-man crew this week, but we have plenty of things to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
A number of games and such are happening in the, mm-hmm. in the near future. We got, let's say, a bunch of industry news here, including one that's probably one of the dumbest things I've ever seen a CEO of a gaming company do.
Mm-hmm.
Which is saying something. And, yeah, we'll get to all that here in a bit. Before we do that, we'll talk about playing. And I've been playing a good bit of No Man's Sky here over the past few days. Probably put about 15 hours into the main save that I have on my PS5 version, mm-hmm. and been kind of slowly unveiling a lot of the big things that they've added over the years to it from a say that's like 10 hours in or so, where you're just starting to scratch at a lot of things there. And so, yeah, now I'm at the point where I am trying to complete some quests and like get the things for upgrades and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And running into a bunch of interesting things, like the you can get specific charts for different types of things that you want to find on any of these worlds. Mm-hmm. And you know, some of them are basic, like drop pods, which is where you get your exosuit upgrades that let you add more slots to either your inventory or the space for any of your upgrade stuff. That's the current system I'm in is a very high sentinel activity, and I went on a planet that is basically dead. There's mm-hmm. really not much going on there, and I used one of those charts, and it was like, there's nothing here, you have to go to a different planet to get to it. Like, all right. There's fun stuff like that, but also ran into one that was like, it made it seem like I was going to go to, you know, some of the locales where you can find other aliens and, you know, sell stuff and do all that kind of stuff. But it went to a settlement,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of like if the stuff in like Fallout 4 had rebuilt stuff there that you were defending. Mm-hmm. Versus, you know, in Fallout 4, if you don't engage with it, it really doesn't do anything to try to force you into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so this took me to an area with a bunch of buildings in it, not many people in there. But the when I talked to one of the people, they were like, oh, you know, talking to me, and then the Sentinels started attacking, so I had to go and shoot a bunch of them. And that's, after doing that, it kind of opened up the option for me to become an overseer for the settlement. Mm-hmm. I guess I would deal with sentinels and all that kind of stuff, and I don't know how much they would persist when I wasn't there or what, but I ended up just leaving, because at a certain point there's just a lot of fighting sentinels, and I just didn't want to do that at that moment. That was neat to find stuff like that. I started building out a place on one of the planets, which is what I'm doing with each of the systems, that has its own, you know, teleporter, portal thing, so that I can, you know, move over there between the systems pretty easily. And there I put a bay for the mech suits that so far is pretty bare bones. I can't really do anything. If I need to interact with things, I have to get out and do things, which is a shame, because like when you run over plants and all that, it destroys them. So I was like, oh, is that going to pull into the inventory, and end up not being the case? So I was like wandering around on this planet for a while in that suit. That's neat, but I need to get some upgrades on it so that it can do more of the normal things. Because once you get it upgraded, it can actually, you know, do mining and all that kind of stuff. Which is what I'm looking forward to. I upgraded my multi-tool into one that had a lot more spaces in it, on it, but I didn't see any way to transfer the upgrades that I had do it, so I ended up having to do it for the weird interface thing it has for switching between them and storing upgrades to my inventory and switching back and forth until I had everything that wasn't the most basic stuff. And kind of where I'm at now is kind of trying to finish up all my upgrades. I have a notepad doc here of just like, here's the things I need for the various upgrades, and some of them are not going to be super hard to get. Others are like things that are either fairly rare from what I know of, or one of them's like an illegal item that I'll have to find, you know, the sketchy system where those will be at. And the nice thing that they've done is added a lot more life to the areas. So if you're sitting at like one of those trade stations, you know, with all the parking spots around it, if you just hang out there long enough, some pirate will come and attack. They have to go run in your ship and go and blow them up, and then come back kind of thing. There's a number of the like buildings you can run to. If you're there long enough, they will have pirates show up and attack, which is fun. Has got me a bit more used to the flight combat stuff, which is pretty basic among all the things that you can do in that kind of genre, but I'm sure as I upgrade my ship and all that, that might get better. I did take a ship that I found in a distress signal that would take a lot of work to fill it out, because you it comes with a bunch of basically trash on it that you have to use various materials to clear it out in a way, and that's just, you know, a lot of filler time. But that's a nice thing to add, because I remember at one point I tried to do something like that, and it essentially wiped my inventory as it swapped the ships kind of thing, and I had to do a bunch of like save scumming there to double check just in case if I messed it up. Mm-hmm. I had a way to undo it and fix it, and luckily it worked out the way I thought it would. So that's fun. I need to get a freighter at some point that could house those ships and have more inventory and all that. But luckily, if you get the storage stuff for your home base and you have them in different systems, that inventory on that storage cube that they give you transfers between. So that was nice. I was not looking forward to having to swap back and forth to grab things, because I have stuff for the Corvettes shipbuilding stuff, though I don't know quite whether it's going to build an actual ship or if I just have a bunch of random pieces that I'll have to keep collecting until I have enough for a ship. And those things are valuable, so they were causing, you know, pirates and whatnot to come after me every so often, but they kind of simplify the combat in a sense where you can just hold down the left trigger and you'll automatically start aiming at one of the ships. So you don't necessarily have to play around with the flight stuff as much as you might otherwise have in the past. I've also gotten companions, which at a certain point they made those able to be ridden. They also can lay eggs that you can use to make others. And so now I have a 3-creature crew that I can use for the Pokemon fights, the arena stuff they call it. I did a fight when I just had 2 of them. I wasn't sure exactly what to expect out of it. And it works pretty interestingly, because it's you have more than 4 moves, so it's got more options than Pokemon tends to have.
Mm-hmm.
And it has more of them that are kind of focused on the future, where you might use a move now and it's like, oh, in 3 turns you'll heal for this much HP kind of stuff. And something like, oh, in 2 turns this will do this much damage kind of stuff. So there's some of that kind of extra strategy to it. So I ended up losing because I was, you know, going 2-3. But now I got 3, and I'm curious to try that out again. I don't know what she necessarily would get out of it, but that's a neat addition to the game. And otherwise, I could just ride my creatures around, which I have like a giant beetle that can fly around. Another one that's kind of like a medium-sized T-Rex. That's pretty good. Got a pretty goofy gait when you're walking around with it, so that's fun. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff there. Maybe the one issue with the game is that there is so much stuff they've added over the years that it's hard to really know what's even in there until you somehow run into it. It's like, at one point it was telling me I had an egg from one of my companions and I didn't know how to get to it. It doesn't really explain any of that. And from what I could tell, I couldn't figure it out. So I don't know, maybe it'll just pop up at some point. But yeah, I've been just kind of running around, trying to do some quests. I ran into some derelict freighter stuff, which is presented to you in kind of a very spooky fashion of some cryptic messages that you get out of it. So yeah, that's some pretty neat stuff that they got going on. So I'm looking forward to playing some more of that and kind of digging into more of it. I was playing Ace Combat 7 because Ace Combat 8 is coming out. I was like, I bought the bundle for like $20 or so with the Top Gun Maverick stuff in it. And I've never played an Ace Combat game outside of maybe a demo here or there. So jumping into this one, it's weird that they got their own, you know, land masses and names for all of them and that they're very similar.
Yeah.
It's like Uja, and these other kind of stuff that trying to pull up a map here of what they call it all. It's like Uja, Osha, that's USEA, OSEA. There's Eurusia, Eurusea. I think I'm aware of the maps that I'm dealing with right now. Because they're going to war over a space elevator that was made in the wake of the last war. It was like a peace thing. That's sitting off the coast of one of these areas. And so I'm a few missions in, and it looks, it's been pretty fun. With the Top Gun Maverick stuff, you essentially have like a souped up version of some of the planes that are already in the game. So you can play on normal difficulty with those and it'll still be pretty easy because you can just kill these other ships pretty much I think quicker than the others would. Every mission you beat, you earn these points that you can spend on this big giant skill tree essentially, and they shove the Top Gun Maverick stuff into its own corner that doesn't connect to anything. But the rest of it's like where you start unlocking more ships and parts that you can equip on there, though you can't equip the parts on the Top Gun Maverick ships. That'll do things like make it, what is it, one of the mechanics is that if you're flying into clouds too much, things will start to ice up.
Yeah.
It's like one of the parts I have is the ability to like make that take a little longer to happen. Kind of stuff. And yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff going on in there. The first like cutscene you get is about this girl whose dad was killed in the last war, and you're raised by your grandpa and his old war buddies to build this ship that you eventually build, I think, in the wake of his death, and decide to take it out for a practice flight. It ends up being at the same time that this war is starting. So you get shot down and survive it, but you get taken as like a prisoner of war and all that. I don't know where that goes yet because you're playing this other character, I think. Maybe you're that character as well. I don't know. It's a bit early to figure out exactly what's all going on here. Yeah, I was looking at the history of this place and boy, there's a bunch of wars going on here in the last like 140 years of history of this world. I don't know where we're at for 7. There's one that ties into the VR mode that's in this. That takes place, I guess, 5 years before the one, I guess this one's called the Lighthouse War. Which I guess makes sense when it's about this space elevator. Essentially a giant lighthouse, I guess. And so, yeah. There's a lot of, like, political stuff they throw at you early on that I'm like, I don't... I guess that's a thing that can happen. But I don't really have any history of what any of these countries do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have their own version of the UN called the IUN. Where they have their peacekeeping force that helps out with things from time to time, whatever it is. Yeah, there's a lot of weird terms in this planet where they don't have any unique names.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it seems like the other landmass is called Verusia, and there's Ania, A-N-E-A. And I'm just like, somebody come up with a name that doesn't end in E-A
mm-hmm.
or anything here. There's some smaller landmasses called like Wello and Nordenovic. I don't know. It's weird. That's what they call the strange real. It's like all the real world political stuff going around, the pure combat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff's been pretty good so far. I wasn't sure if it was going to be a super complicated game or not, but it's been pretty good. And they do give you options for difficulty and like how complicated you want the controls to be. So I think I'm on the fairly simplistic stuff for newbies. So I am on the normal difficulty. So it's not going too easy on me, but I did run into... It seemed like the big thing is drones as part of this war. Mm-hmm. And so I went on this big mission where we were, you know, going after them, and they have this literally giant plane that has a bunch of drones that peel off the bottom side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it literally causes so much chaos, you have to abandon the mission, essentially. Just try to help everybody survive while they try to peel off some of these other groups, send them back to safety.
Mm-hmm.
And not to spoil anything, but some of those people don't make it. But
mm-hmm.
that's supposed to be your motivation, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Losing people you've seen for 2 missions, barely any, you know, chatter.
Mm-hmm.
about it. But yeah, that's been what I'm playing. I'm hoping to finish that up before 8, and if I enjoyed enough, I might check out Ace Combat 8.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's been cool. And what have you been playing, Brandon?
Well, as for me, I'm still playing Splatoon Raiders, and I've gotten about halfway through the Bottomless Buffet section. I still got like another 50 to go before I get to the true final boss for that particular game. Then I'm basically through with it. I'll be able to go back to Splatoon 3 playing every night, which is going to be hard to do because you got to have to reprogram yourself to remember, oh, right, the boss Salmonids aren't quite as vulnerable in Salmon Run as they are in Splatoon Raiders, but that's a different thing entirely. The other big thing I've been playing this week is Iron Nest. This is a game I got on Steam. And it's basically a game takes place in like an alternate 1920s Spain where there's like a civil war between the ruling monarchy and the Republicans. Not entirely unlike what actually happened in the real world. But essentially, you are a person in the Spanish military who is being given control over this thing called the Iron Nest, which is essentially a mobile gun turret that is insanely powerful and is like it's made to make you realize like how much work actually goes into like firing something this large, because this isn't the type of thing where you can just like stare down a periscope and then just fire it. No. The game takes you through this entire process where you first have to like read the orders that come from headquarters, And they'll do things like they'll give you coordinates, or they'll give you like the locations for like some spotters and or something like that. And then you have to go over to your battle table, which is basically a huge map of Spain where you are told to you use those coordinates or to put in, or you use the spotters to sort of like triangulate where the target is. Then you take one of the little colored pencils that are given to you in the game, and then sort of draw like a line from where the Iron Nest is located to where it needs to be. That'll give you an idea of like where the distance of how what the distance is for the shot and stuff like that. Then you have to basically go through this whole process where you have to find out like what height the gun needs to be aimed at in order to go forward, and you do that by like entering this the distance for where the shot's going to be, and that calculates it. Then you have to choose the type of ammunition you're going to be using. There's like three or four types of shells that the game gives you. There's like standard HE shells. There's also like starburst shells that you can use to illuminate the night sky during a conflict, stuff like that. Then you have to choose like how many charges you're going to load it with, because again, you've got a distance that you're going to have to cover, and also a certain degree of power that you're going to need to put behind this shot to basically leave a crater in its wake. And then you have to, get the height in order. Then you have to point it in the right direction, arm the gun, and then fire. And the shot is like, it is incredibly loud. It rocks everything in the Iron Nest. And sometimes you won't get the shot right away. So what'll happen is you'll get like immediate sky surveillance photography that'll show you like the aftermath of your shot, and the spotters on the ground will like draw on like, okay, you need to go this direction at a certain distance, and then fire again. It is, and keep in mind, I'm only in like the early parts of the game where like the Iron Nest is like far out from the action in like a remote place. Later on in the game, you end up like right in the middle of the battlefield, so you're also having to like maneuver the Iron Nest away from incoming shots while at the same time having to arm your own. So yeah, that's the Iron Nest. It's pretty damn good, not gonna lie. And I've also got a secret third game that I'm still playing. I can't really talk about it just yet, but like I said last week, it's okay. It's not bad, but it's kind of dull compared to other games of its type. But yeah, that's what I've been playing.
All right, so yeah, let's get to some news. First up here, we have the PS Plus game catalog lineup for August. That's I think they put up their first game this week, which is Helldivers 2 for the PS5. They put that up when they announced this. So yeah, if you have not played Helldivers 2, it's really good. They're still doing new stuff now.
They've got like they've reintroduced the cyborg since then. They've also got reintroduced the I forgot what they're called, but the aliens. So yeah, they've got like a bunch of new stuff they've added on. And the great thing about that game is, it's one of those where they leave just enough room for you to basically more or less go about each task the way you want to. So you kind of get to make your own fun. And also, friendly fire is in effect, so have fun with that.
Let's see. I think this other one here is going to be available this Tuesday on the 20, or no, the 18th. Okay, they say all the others are available on the 18th. So for PS5, we got Kingdom Come Deliverance 2.
Yeah.
You can check that one out.
Seriously.
Also, let's see, for PS5, PS4, Vampire Survivors. If you need a little game that'll take up a lot of your time, that's one that is one of the few games out there that does not take itself seriously at all. Even the basic concept of trying to get these vampires, there's no vampire in the game. It's a very classic Super Mario Brothers miscue, but you never actually find Peach.
Yeah.
So that's one to check out. For PS5, there's Hella's Us. Okay, despite them saying the rest are available on the 18th, this one says the 25th. The 25th in US, UK, and Japan. This is a really cool game. I played a few hours of this on PC. It is a third-person action-adventure game where you're kind of exploring these areas, finding, you know, evidence of things that can help you solve information about the world, because you're going you're going from the human world into this other world that is kind of blocked off, and you just kind of sneak in because you used to live here, you're born here, but they have left at some point. Now there's a war going on back in this area, and now you're trying to figure out like what the heck happened, and whatever other stuff you can find there.
Yeah.
So it's got a little bit of Souls-like stuff in there mixed with like an adventure game.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Not just any kind of war, but a sectarian war. And it is an ugly one, because you find evidence of, you know, war crimes pretty quickly as soon as you get in there. And just sort of seeing the history of this conflict over the centuries. The game doesn't have, like, it doesn't, like, spoon feed you. It doesn't really have anything like a, you know, it doesn't really tell you where you need to go or anything. It just sort of, you have to use context clues to find out where you need to be going. And, you know, you have to keep your eye out to, like, solve puzzles and stuff. There's a lot of places you'll end up going that you can't access until later in the game. Like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. It just has a really interesting framework and all that. So that's a pretty cool game worth checking out. Then we got here, this one will also be in the 25th, Umamusume Pretty Derby Party Dash. This is a 2D version of this idea here, where these horse girls, anime horse girls that are racing as part of this school festival, and I guess there must be other events here. They mentioned 4 zany events here.
Yeah.
And all that. So each team consists of 5 Umamusume. A total of 4 teams have their eyes on the gold at the Slapdash Grand Prix. This is not the free-to-play gacha game. This is something different. So that's one you can check out.
Yeah, they're all based on, like, actual racehorses, by the way.
Yeah.
That was a weird thing I discovered, like, not too long ago.
Yeah. This next one's also the 25th, Two Point Museum for the PS5. This is the most recent of these Two Point games, where instead of running, you know, a hospital or a school, you're running a museum. And getting all the kind of fun stuff that can come out of that. So that seems pretty neat. Just wanted to check out. Also on the 25th for PS5 and PS4, Metro Exodus. That's the latest of the Metro series. So, yeah, definitely putting that out, because the new one's coming out, I think, next year at some point. So that's when you can play for the time being. Also on the 25th here for PS5 and PS4 is Dying Light 2. I think the first one was on the regular PS Plus monthly stuff. So you get to check out the second one here that you can play in co-op or solo. And, you know, it's more of that, but with some decision-making stuff you can do. So, yeah, there's your main stuff for extra and premium. And the premium only stuff here, we've got 2 games. For the PS2, for the PS5 and PS4, Onimusha: Dawn of Dreams. This is the fourth Onimusha game of the regular Onimusha games. I think they also put out like a party game, weird thing. But yeah, this is one you can check out and play. That'll be available, I believe, on Tuesday, the 18th. And then the other one is a PS1 game for the PS5 and PS4. Disney's Atlantis: The Lost Empire, another Disney game that be able to check out, and yeah, this is one of those ones that's a decent enough game. So
Oh, yeah.
that's another one you can check out. So there you go. There's your lineup. Anything you're looking forward to there, Brandon?
Let's see here. Well, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, I wouldn't mind playing that again. That game is actually really good. Helldivers 2, I've already got it, so, not really anything new there. Hell Is Us, I've never completed that, even though I liked what I played, so I'll probably get that. I've played Metro Exodus like 3 times already, so I don't have to do that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about it.
All right. But yeah, there's that for some other stuff happening this week. This will be tomorrow. Phantom Blade Zero will be having a state of play event happening where they'll show off more of the gameplay, and that kind of stuff. Tomorrow, what time? Let's see. Those will be an evening one. 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. Or yeah, very early over in Japan in the 18th. So that'll be interesting to see. They seem like they're going to go through a bunch of the gameplay systems there. Alongside this announcement, they put it up for pre-order, so you can check that out if you want to put your money down for this thing. That's not out till I think October is what they've done. So yeah, that looks like that should be pretty neat. I'll be curious to check that one out. So yeah, you can check that out in the mor in tomorrow evening.
Yeah. We'll definitely see.
Yeah.
Still not entirely sure about this one.
Yeah. Got a nice look to it, at least. Yeah, so there's that. Then we got in September, we've got TCG Card Shop Simulator is going to be hitting 1.0 on PC and will also be launching on the consoles. Let's see, PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, Xbox One, and PC. So you'll be able to play it on most everything there. And yeah. It looks like one of the big things they're doing is that you'll be able to actually play the TCG in the game. I believe they've redone all the card art. So it looks a lot nicer versus the kind of very basic look it's had since the early access stuff has been available. So yeah, this is the game that spawned all the other shop simulator stuff that you've seen where you're just running a shop and then checking people out.
Yeah, I've pretty sure I've seen the Game Grumps play this a few times. But yeah, it's very similar to like Supermarket Simulator and stuff like that.
Yeah, maybe the one other thing it has going for it is that you have to spray people with deodorants.
Yeah, because
Simulates what if stinky people come into the shop,
seriously.
which is that you have to pull out the deodorant and spray them in their
Yeah,
face.
you have to get out the spicy spray. Yeah.
So I think you can also get little machines that'll do it when it senses a stinky person nearby. So that's a fun whole thing there. But yeah, they've added a bunch of the stuff since the last time I played, so I'm curious to jump back in before 1.0 and then see what comes in at 1.0. That's a really good game. But yeah, also happening right around then, on the 16th of September, Enemo launches. This is the I think it's also a gacha game, but it's a free-to-play open-world creature-catching action RPG. The one that looks like, what if, I think it's either Korean or Chinese, but, you know, what if you had an Asian free-to-play game that also does the Pokemon thing, but does not make them super cutesy? So, yeah, if you want to pay early to, I don't think this gets you early access, it just gets you bonuses. Like you get the first battle pass and some other stuff to go with that. There's a $10 and $20 edition you can check out for that. So that's the whole thing you can do. This will be on PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC, as well as mobile on the 16th. So you can check that one out. I had to look at the Steam page for this because, like, this could be AI.
Yeah, it definitely kind of looks like
There's like
it.
some of the art that looks like your typical anime generated art of these characters, but maybe they're just doing the actual thing because there's nothing that pops up here. So that's the thing you can check out in about a month. And then, yeah, next up here, October 1st, we'll be getting what they're calling the Ghost of Yote Complete Edition, which includes a new, story campaign expansion that they're calling, what is it, Echoes of Sekigahara. Yeah, that has both present day and flashback elements. You'll meet Nagato, a figure from Atsu's past who has arrived in Aizo. In the present, you'll explore a previously unseen valley. Just a valley that Atsu missed, didn't notice. That I guess was once inhabited by the snake and his gang, the Vipers. And so, yeah, you do all the cool stuff and take them on, beat them, and get stuff for it. So that looks neat. They're also adding the Most Wanted mode, which is a combat survival mode, sort of a roguelike kind of mode here, where you accept bounties in order to start new runs. We're taking down enemies, we'll earn new perks, as well as unlock additional characters to play as. So that sounds pretty neat. And yeah, they have some other stuff that goes with this. So yeah, if you have not gotten the game yet, this will just cost $70 like the base game did. And you get all the extra stuff. Legends also comes with this, but that's also free with the base game. And yeah, they're also putting out an update that adds what do they mention here? Yeah, Beauty of Yote mode, which allows a screensaver-like view of the environments of Aizo to keep on and relax at home. They've also had new tracks for Watanabe mode. They'll be available throughout the entire game. There'll also be new quality of life features, including the option to keep an armor set's appearance while using a different set's stats, as well as new high contrast accessibility option. If you already have Ghost of Yote, the upgrade to this will be just $14.99, so pretty decent price for that. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I still have not had the chance to play this.
Now you'll be able to get more for that cost, so that'll work out. But yeah, there's that. The last date here I have involves Pokemon, because the Pokemon company is shutting down the Pokemon Bank and the Poke Transporter apps that are some of the only things left on the 3DS that still had online support after they shut down all of that stuff. Shut down the eShop and all that. So yeah. Those have been available as like means for transferring Pokemon from like the DS and GBA games up to, you know, the current stuff on the Switch and the 3DS, so that you could, you know, keep those Pokemon that have been transferable between all these other versions for, you know, an increasingly complicated system, and that stuff is finally getting shut down, so that you'll lose a decent chunk of things that you can do with this stuff. They'll be ending on February 25th, 2027. So yeah. They also announced alongside this that the Switch ports of Fire Red and Leaf Green will be getting home support in October. So that's at least a minor bonus thing here. But yeah, I did not know necessarily what all this stuff did. But there's like medals that your Pokemon could get for, accomplishing essentially like achievement style stuff. Usually for beating, the Pokemon League stuff that is the end for most of these games. And like a bunch of that kind of stuff there. So yeah, that's a shame. It's gonna limit the amount of, things that people could do with all this. So I'm sure people will figure out, a homebrew way of doing all this, as they would want to do with this kind of stuff. But yeah, that's a shame. But yeah, having all that functionality through the 3DS, which Nintendo has effectively abandoned at this point, made this seem like a thing that was going to happen at some point, especially when it has to require special apps to do it. So that's a shame there. That's kind of the Pokemon experience at this point.
Pretty much.
So there you go. But yeah, for let's see here. Yeah, we had D23, and surprisingly, Kingdom Hearts was a big factor in that. They had some trailer stuff here featuring the addition of the Coco World to the game. This next game here, Kingdom Hearts 4. And also the confirmation that it is going to come out late 2027 for PS5, Xbox, Switch 2, and PC. Which probably means it'll come out the following year, but at least they're aiming for this for the time being. And the interesting thing is, I don't think you play as Sora initially. It seems like you play as Donald, Goofy, and King Mickey for a bit, so they're trying to figure out like what's happened to Sora and what other shit's going on here. Which is neat. Finally changing things up after like 15 games. But yeah, they're doing some interesting stuff there.
And it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
And yeah, like and I'm not even talking about like the Coco stuff, even though the Coco stuff looks amazing. I'm talking about like all the Mickey stuff that we saw, that weird sort of paper book world that he's going through.
Yeah.
That looks really cool.
Yeah, that's a fun whole thing to see. And they also announced that they're doing a Kingdom Hearts anime series that is not going to like summarize the story of the previous games. That would be too easy for them. This is going to be an original series with a different story that they say will expand the universe of Kingdom Hearts, while celebrating the characters that have captured the hearts of millions of fans throughout the world. So yeah, if you were wondering, this was going to be a way to make it easier for people to jump into this game.
Nope.
They're not doing that.
Nope. Tetsuya Nomura told you to drop dead. I ain't explaining shit.
Gonna have to get that bundle with all the games in it and see how many you can play in the next year and change.
Yeah, seriously. And keep it, like, I mean, the Kingdom Hearts franchise is already crazy convoluted as it is.
Yeah.
So, them just adding on, make adding on even more.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see. This is Disney. It'll be on Disney Plus and the Disney Channel. So that's where it'll be available. So yeah, that's interesting to see. And that's kind of it for your announcement stuff. We do have some good news here, and that Big Walk has sold 1 million copies in less than a week. Unsurprisingly, it's a game made for people to buy and enjoy, especially with all the good reviews out there. Yeah, they say in just 6 days, over 1 million of you have bought Big Walk. So that's cool.
And yeah, like that's the type of game that you stream with. And it's also just like a really fun collaborative experience.
Yeah. So yeah, that's good news for House House. Now let's get to the rest of the industry news. First up here, the Halloween the game has been denied classification in Australia and New Zealand due to drug use. Which is unsurprising that Australia would do that. So I think the details we have so far about what this means, I think, is that one of the characters can smoke weed and see pings of where Michael is at. And that's a pretty funny mechanic for this kind of game. Very much fits into the vibe of if you're trying to gamify Halloween in this kind of, it's not 4v1, I think it's like 5 or 6v1 kind of thing. Especially if it's set in modern times, that kids would have ready access to some weed, and that would grant them some weird perk, essentially. And that's Australia's big issue. So yeah, not the killing and gore or anything.
No.
It's the drugs. So yeah, that's fun. So people in Australia, New Zealand will have to import it from another area, another location for that. So that's fun. Fun. This has people that are GTA 6 potential fans being like, well, we know you can already do drugs in GTA 5. So what's GTA 6 going to do? Is that going to be a big issue? And I wouldn't be surprised if it is, but we'll see. That should be getting decided pretty soon. But hey, there you go.
And get ready, here come the layoffs.
Yeah, the first one here, if you've ever thought Crossfire was not a cursed property, this will add to the notion that it is, because yeah, they had Remedy Entertainment made a shooter campaign for Crossfire X a handful of years ago that ended up turning out to be just a terrible game for whatever reason. But they announced a new Crossfire game that was coming out. I think they announced at one of the Keighley shows, might have been Summer Game Fest. But they've already run into some trouble and have had to lay off 14 staff at That's No Moon. Yeah, a bunch of people that worked at the studio posted on LinkedIn. One of them said that they were one of 14 affected by the layoffs. So that's not great that you're laying off people in the middle of development. That the publisher for this couldn't afford to keep everybody on, at least till closer till the end. I don't think this is coming out that soon, so that's a shame. So yeah, there you go. That's bad news.
This also kind of suspicious, but just it's a sign of the times, that's all I can really say.
Yeah. We got some more layoffs here. Supermassive Games announced that they are going into what do they call it here? It's like administration, something like that. That essentially is a period of consultation. Or essentially, they are potentially going to lay off up to 75 people and sort of have to go through this period of letting these people know and maybe having them apply to other positions that might be available and see if there's other ways to not have to lay them off. But if not, They will then have to lay off people. And yeah, that's a shame, but also Supermassive has, you know, continued to put out games lately, and Directive 8020 was the one they put out earlier this year.
Yeah.
That's not done that well, especially not to justify not having layoffs, I guess, being able to afford these people for the foreseeable future. But yeah, that's a shame. Hopefully they can make it through this, but
Yeah.
they've been laying off people every so often, like at least once a year or so, for the past few years. And yeah, they're the sort of studio that maybe doesn't have any consistent income to keep these people employed for the long term. So yeah, sad to see. Hopefully they can improve on things. And get into a better shape. We'll see. But then we got you some even worse news there, and that is that Netflix is shutting down the two remaining studios, I believe, that they've had. Moonloot Games and Night School Studio. Night School Studio is the one that has kind of the better pedigree because they worked on Oxenfree before getting acquired by Netflix. 2021, and worked on Oxenfree 2, and just put out their last game Unhinged 6 weeks ago. But yeah, Netflix still seems to be interested in games, but I'm gonna take a wild guess that they basically don't want to run studios anymore, that they want to partner with independent studios and then not have to be beholden to pay, you know, all of that payroll, essentially, for how long it takes to get games out. Isn't a huge surprise, but it's still sad to see. Would have been nice if Night School could maybe have had an option to buy themselves out, because they've got a lot of talented people there. But yeah.
Yeah, very much so, but again, just way it is right now.
Yeah, Netflix is definitely not making enough money to afford to run teams.
No,
Can't be.
not at all.
So yeah, and we got a bit of a PSA, a bit of information here. Twitch has been forced by Amazon to start training its the Amazon AI on your content. And their benevolent form have put out an opt-out option in your profile. So if you're viewing Twitch or streaming Twitch on Twitch or anything like that, go to your account settings, and it should be there under, I think, privacy. Could be an option down there that is probably towards the bottom for training on this stuff, because it does allow you to or allows them to basically use, you know, the video you're streaming, potentially chat and other stuff, to be training this AI model that they're using for Amazon and all that. And yeah, this also had happened during their I don't know if it's weekly or maybe monthly, like, community stream, where they talk about news on things they're doing for Twitch, upcoming events, you know, new things they're doing and all that. And their chief product officer, Mike Minton, was on there to talk about this, as they could see, you know, the chat very much hating every moment of this. And their community person, Mary Kish, also knowing this was not going to go well at all. Just kind of stuck there having to listen to this guy try to explain why is it not opt-in versus opt-out. Which he said, now, why is it opt-in? That's what everybody is here spamming in chat. I get it. Let me opt-in versus making me opt-out. There's an honest answer, and I think most of you probably can appreciate this. If it was opt-in, nobody would opt-in. That's honestly the answer. It's going to be on by default, and like I said, almost every content service in the world is on by default. And it's like, yeah, it's not a great answer. One, everybody knows that if companies were to make it opt-in, then nobody would opt in. That's why you're doing it opt-out. So it's on by default until you turn it off. That's not a surprise thing. Still doesn't make it a good thing to do. Because the way he kind of said this felt like a very smug, like, I understand, but also, we got to do this shit, and we're not the only ones doing it this way, so get off my back. And it's like, yeah, it's really shitty that all of these companies are doing this, that you have to constantly be, vigilant to checking your options every so often to make sure that it stays off when you turn it off, and see if they've added new options that they don't tell people about, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, really, really sucks to see. And right now people are using, streamers are using tags to let people know that they are, opt out, so that you don't have to worry about any of your potential data or interactions with the streamer. They're going to be used for AI shit, which I've been doing and putting that in the titles as well, so to make that easier for people. So yeah, and they had their community feedback platform. I forget what it's called. It's the annoying kind that's when you sign up for it, you get emails on every following comment that gets posted, which is like, no, don't do any of this shit. It's called User Voice. And it's literally had the most comments that anything that's been posted on there in a while has had. And obviously that was not enough to really get them to avoid doing this or cancel their plans on this. So, which is not a surprise. These companies are not in the business of listening to people on this stuff. Amazon's not gonna be nice to you because you try to bully them. They don't care. They'll get benefits out of it either way, whether they give a damn about what you're doing. So yeah, that's unfortunate, but wanted to let people know so that if you are on Twitch, make sure you check the those options and turn it off. Don't give them any data for free, especially.
Seriously.
So yeah, there you go for that. And last up here, we'll get you to probably the dumbest thing we've seen a CEO do in a while.
In a while,
Maybe a long while, because this is really stupid.
like this is somebody may or may not have been on drugs, stupid, because that's the only way I can explain some of this shit.
Oh no, this person is AI pilled.
I repeat my previous statement.
I would not call those drugs. They've intentionally let their brain get smoothed out.
Agree to disagree, but yeah, point is, they did something really stupid, tried to, and just, it just, it's just, it's crazy. Just, go ahead and tell it.
Yeah, so this involves Saber Interactive CEO Matt Karch, who is not a stranger to controversy. A few years ago, when Space Marine 2 came out, he was posting in the comments of an Asmongold video, praising them, talking about how he was a big fan, and that they, didn't want to impose morals on gamers. And it's like, oh, so this guy is that kind of person.
It's like, oh, he's, yeah.
He is a shithead. So that plays into a lot of what you see here. So this involves a game they announced called, and people keep miswriting this. It's not Rideshare Simulator, it's Rideshare Stimulator. And I think stimulator is in quotes in the title, because I don't know why. I don't know why you just don't call it simulator. But a trans woman that used to work there called named Stella Sacco, who's been in the industry for a long time, As a writer who is very acclaimed, very highly regarded, working on mobile games, console games, PC games, whatever, was working at Saber and then was laid off. And she had heard that they were going to use ChatGPT in the game and sort of equated that to she was laid off to be replaced with ChatGPT, which is a reasonable way to frame that. But yeah, she posted on her Blue Sky when seeing the video for this, being like, "Oh yeah, this is the game I was working on, and was replaced by ChatGPT on this, kind of blowing this whistle that this game is using AI, and the like Steam page for it did not disclose this at all." Unsurprisingly, it started, making the rounds on the news front and all that. That got Matt Karch to put out a statement, which shows how much of a Trump fan this guy is. This is a very Trumpian kind of statement, where he starts off here denying that he knows who this person is, saying, "Stella who? I had to ask Claude because I have never spoken to her or seen her. We have already said we are using AI for certain parts of the game, and we'll update the Steam page once we have finalized the feature set. Let me clarify that the entire story script were to win an award would go to someone who can walk up on stage and receive it. It was always our intention to reveal this until Stella violated her confidentiality clause and revealed this before we were ready. We look at our use of AI in this particular game, which will be a lower price title, as a plus for consumers." That ends here as far as Stella is concerned. She was replaced by someone more talented and terminated for a variety of reasons a few months later. From what I can gather, she enjoys controversy even more than I do. I would frankly, in retrospect, have been happy to replace her with AI. At least we would be dealing with someone who programmed to be honest. And like that is very Trumpian of like denying even knowing who this person is, trying to obfuscate whether the thing that was claimed about the game being used using AI and all that, that's not as bad as you think it is. And then going on and trying to discredit Stella, especially someone who's not a cis woman, to trash her in public on this in this sense with this statement, just did not go down well with anybody. Anybody that knows Stella and her work, or anybody who sees the power imbalance here of a a CEO saying this about a former employee in this manner is just very disrespectful, which obviously was the goal. To which she responding, because I assume everybody added her on Blue Sky, saying, "I've seen the statement by Matt Karch, the CEO of Saber Entertainment, and all the truly horrendous things he said about me. Like, it should be obvious to anyone who reads that statement that he's lashing out because he did not want people to know there was AI use in the game. Everything I said was true. Here's more truth. The statement is remarkably pathetic for the CEO of any company to be making, and combined with the AI use, it will do far more damage to Saber's reputation than it could ever mine, than it ever could mine. The screed will be many people's first exposure to the Saber brand. I appreciate everyone's support, but people who know me know I'm a person of principle, and one of those principles is don't let the bastards get away with it. I'm comfortable with what I said, and everyone got to see what kind of man is running Saber." Yeah, she's not wrong on any of that. And so yeah, people started figuring out like, oh, you can ignore games on Steam, or ignore companies on Steam. It's a little bit convoluted, but people were sharing tips on how to do that, so you can ignore Saber Interactive, and if not totally not ever get recommended or see any of their games, it would at least lessen the chances of that stuff, so that you don't buy things from a shitty company run by a shitty person. And so yeah, that was fun. you see, and everybody literally crashed on the statement because it's not the sort of kind of statement you expect out of a CEO. You would think at all times they would be trying to be in PR mode and defuse situations, not make them worse. Because ultimately, what she said initially was not anyway deserving of that kind of statement. That's very clearly from a man who spends way too much time online and very much in the mold of a Trumpian figure who thinks you got to hit back harder than you were hit and all that. And so yeah, they eventually actually added the AI disclosure to the game. I'm gonna try and see if I can get to the store page here. Yeah, here it is. So remember what he said before, that it was only used for some writing. Yeah, for certain parts of the game. We'll update the Steam page once we finalize the feature set. Well, they finalized it, and here's what it says now. The main campaign story, characters, and dialogue are written by a team of human writers, AI tools used for voice generation and some localization. The optional free ride mode includes AI-generated passenger missions and localized dialogue. The free ride mode is separate from the main campaign. It can be skipped by players who prefer to experience only human-written narrative content. The game also includes a mix of radio stations featuring human-made music and AI-generated music. Stations containing AI-generated music are clearly labeled as such in the game. That's already more than what he said in that statement. Because the music thing was not said at all. Also, using it for voice generation and localization, also not a thing that was said in that statement as well. So there's more there than people thought. And so, yeah, that's not great. That's only part of this still. He did realize a day or two later that, you know, this was probably a bad move. I believe sent an email to Stella apologizing and all that, to which she responded with a statement here. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but she says here, last night, to my great surprise, I received a long email from Saber Interactive CEO Matt Karch. He apologized unreservedly for the awful way he spoke about me in the press. The email's full text will stay between us. I'm not that kind of girl, but I have confirmed it was from him. Matt said he regretted escalating and how people online were speaking about me. I'm not worried about being called slurs by random commenters. I'm a trans woman. That's every day for me. But it sucked to have my skill and reputation built of 20 years in games publicly maligned by someone with institutional power. So yeah, that's and there's a couple more pages of this. But yeah, fun thing she mentioned, I think, before this apology happened is that they rescinded the Steam key that she had for whatever game it was that she had gotten from who was then her employer, probably for Space Marine 2 or something. And that was just a weird, petty thing. I'd be like, hey, we'll rescind the key for this game we gave her when she was working here. Fucking childish stuff to do. And then he got on LinkedIn, which is where everybody goes to make the most reasonable statements. I'm gonna try and find the page here. It's a long screed, as nobody that posts on LinkedIn is able to say anything succinctly. But he posted this. I read a little bit of this. I've had an insightful week reflecting on the unwritten rules and expectations placed on modern CEOs. Navigating public scrutiny, media narratives, and industry shifts come with the territory, but also offers a few valuable lessons. And like goes into this thing that's like a very LinkedIn type of post. Like, here's what I learned this week of being the main character of the internet for several days. But also at this at the fourth paragraph, consider the source of online commentary. The digital ecosystem thrives on outrage and surface level takes. Case in point, a 26-minute video essay from a well-known writer of some classic games who dedicated it entirely to analyzing a single sarcastic quote of mine, pretending he knew exactly who I am. which somehow concluded with personal remarks about my physical anatomy and encouragement to accost me. When industry analysis devolves into personal insults and threats, it says far more about the creator than it does about the subject. Relying on outrage algorithms for industry insights is a trap. So he very specifically gives some details there that people figured out is about a Chet Felicik video. Mm-hmm. And so when he's commenting about classic video games there, he means Portal. Chet Felicik worked at Valve when they made Portal, Left 4 Dead, and those Half-Life episodes. He wrote on all of that kind of stuff, and probably more. And yeah, that's a fun whole thing of trying to be the bigger man, but also trashing another person in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, not one that worked for him, so less of a shitty thing to do there than just being an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, just a fun way to cap this all off. And I believe somebody like asked him about why he would trash the guy who wrote Portal.
Mm-hmm.
He used this like quote that was basically like, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Suggesting that because he's not made better games than Portal or anything like that, that he's a has-been.
Mm-hmm.
And thus not worthy of respect. It's a very like far-right kind of thing. Manosphere kind of stuff.
Mm.
I'm like, well, you haven't provided value lately, so why should I treat you with respect? All that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's a fun whole thing that happened on the internet this week. So, yeah, I don't know if you have anything to add on that, Brandon.
Nope. It was just a really long comedy of stupid errors.
Yeah. A sign that maybe you don't want to support Saber Interactive.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't like people running companies that you're buying products from to be acting like a child.
Mm-hmm.
Especially one that acts like an 80-year-old child like Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a fun whole thing there. And yeah, we'll end there. Because really, that's all you need to know about this week.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll end the show there. Thank you to Brandon for joining this week.
Always.
We'll be back next week with a new slate of news and things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
As we got more things coming out this week. We got Entropy is out this week.
Mm-hmm.
That's the weird turn-based RPG on Steam that has a very cool like PS1 kind of look to it.
Mm-hmm.
That looks really neat. What else we got on the 20th? There's Mortal Shell 2. We need some Souls-like action. The Witch's Bakery is also out on the 20th. If you want something a little more cozy and chill. And those are the main ones I have here. The week after that is when everything comes out. Yeah. There's like 5 things coming out on the 27th. Mm-hmm. And a couple more around the few days around that. So that'll be fun. But yeah. Yeah, if you enjoy the show, feel free to let friends and family know. They should check it out and select strangers who are not going to put out ridiculous statements on the internet to get clowned on for several days.
Yeah.
Your goal on the internet every day should be to not become the main character of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Especially not main character of the week. But Matt Karch does not have the ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He has lost that filter in his brain. Probably because of Claude. Use AI enough and you lose that filter in your brain to make reasonable decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. If you enjoy the show, we'll be back next week. New news, new games to talk about, and more fun stuff to be doing. So, yeah. Thank you all for tuning in. We hope to see you next week. And, we'll see you all next time. Have a good one.
Bye.